What's good, listeners? Welcome to the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, Bunker Edition. Good morning, Marissa. I know you hanging in there. We all hanging in. This is an amazing day. You know, sun's out. We good here in Southern California. But we always like to start this off at the top of the show because on this day marks the solemn anniversary for the space community as on January 28th, 1986, seven astronauts were killed when the Challenger space shuttle exploded shortly after launch. And also, I had no idea this was even a holiday. This cracks me up every time. But I think it is an important, you know, out of all the holidays, this is important. Today is Data Privacy Day. So don't forget to do your part and change your passwords every 6 months. Come on, millennials. This is our generation now. We need to stay protected. And we've got a great show for everybody that's tuning in live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show's YouTube channel, because our guest joining us on Just Talking is 11-time Daytime Emmy Award winner and X Game gold medalist Christos Andrews. And also joining us for Strike a Chord is indie alternative rock band Cannibal Kids from Miami, Florida. And we want to remind everybody, if you haven't seen our brand new launch of Off the Fret, more music talk, you're in for a treat because our third installment features Queens, New York rock band, The Phoenix Within. All right, Marissa, it's time to rock and roll. What's good, listeners? Our guest on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, is 11-time Daytime Emmy Award winner and X Games gold medalist, Christos Andrews. And as he starts to merge himself on in right now, we got him live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. How you doing, fam?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Hey, we're fabulous. We're just beyond amazed. I'm actually kind of
loving it.
Yeah, as we were doing this behind the scenes, a lot of moving parts were happening, but we're just so excited to have you on, Christos. And let's get right on into it, because you grew up in Santa Monica, right in the area skateboarding originated, known as Dogtown. And it's my understanding that friends in the local area introduced you to skateboarding, showing off skateboarding videos. So, like, I know when I was growing up, I was obsessed with Bam Margera and CKY, which later got me introduced to like Danny Way, Eric Costin, and you know, Rodney Mullen's kind of wacky lifestyle, you know, with his cool tricks. What were those skateboard videos growing up that you were inspired by?
I definitely was inspired by pretty much everyone you mentioned. Danny Way would always take it really big. He was really cool when I met him at the X Games. Really, really cool guy. Always getting injured, but always recovering.
Right. I mean, every time I see that Great Wall of China, you know, when he jumped that is one of the most astounding things ever. But every time I looked at your old skateboard videos back in the day, you were very much being that street skater lifestyle. What were some of those street skaters that you stuck to in your early days?
I guess I liked, ever since I saw Jamie Thomas sort of get the closest to doing the leap of faith, which was such a massive drop, I always liked watching him. And then Andrew Reynolds, he would take it. He had good style. I liked watching him. And then, Jeremy Rogers, who I sort of became like somewhat friends with later on. And I used to go skating with the Powell and Bones team for a little spell. And
that's cool.
I honestly used to, I didn't realize like it was.
Well, because you went through the phase that all of us did.
I used to go, no, this is before it was on television, before it was huge, before it was like a thing. I would go to all these skate competitions and stuff, hang out, have a couple of drinks, you know, relax and have fun. And it was just such a great vibe. And for me, watching skateboarding become an Olympic sport, becoming something new and awesome and giving back to communities that don't have really an outlet is one of the best things. And you're one of the pioneers of that, Christos. Like, that's like, to me, like amazing to give back to.
Yeah, and I've read online that you view skateboarders as athlete meets rock star. Like, how so? Why is that lifestyle? And has that even resembled in your acting career?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's wild. I mean, the sport itself is rogue. It's not like that. It's not like the typical American, well, you know, backed and safety precautionary, all that. No, it's just rogue, and it's got a sort of, you know, it's got a rebel culture to it and by nature. And you have to be sort of creative. Like skateboarding is very creative, like especially street skating, where you're just finding different ways to skate different things, the things that already exist, but you're finding creative ways to sort of express yourself with the board and skate and do different tricks and all this stuff. It's nice. You gotta be sort of like with a crew of a good team, to skate around with and get creative with and kind of go run and gun and just do things, in a way that's, pushing the limits and the boundaries and what's normal all the time. And I do feel like it translates over to my career here.
That's interesting, because I want to throw you this quote out, Christos, because you might have heard of this phrase before, but skateboarding is an art and your skateboard is your brush. Maybe you've heard of that philosophy. And do you consider skateboarding in your filmmaking, has this brush, you know, like helped you, inspire you to become that actor, producer, and director in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, tell me sort of, you know, just push limits and kind of take fears as like a nice challenge, sort of take just like a big drop on a skateboard or a big rail or something, and you kind of just size it up and plan it out and enjoy the process of failing forwards and eventually landing.
Yeah, and I love definitely that. Enjoy, but just real quickly, just enjoying the process of failing forward. Like, to me, that's amazing, because you cannot succeed and win without a fail. Nobody's born amazing, right? We all have to learn that and keep going. And I know those little drops of nugget wisdom, Crystal's dropping here. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just saying, because 2021 was certainly a pivotal year for many industries, such as television and film. And this is kind of where I'm trying to set this up, because COVID-19 has forced productions to adapt, transform, shift, and innovate to stay ahead of the curve. And I always feel like maybe some of that skateboarding element is possibly helped you. And what new trends do you see emerging, and where do you think the entertainment industry is heading in 2022?
You know, it's funny, it's like we keep walking into the unknown, and we don't fully, all we know is we got to be quick on our feet, ready.
So
to
true.
Yeah, ready to
adapt, right?
Well, I know your show, The Bay, on Amazon Prime has grown a massive success on the platform. And how do you feel about streaming services dominating movie studios in recent years?
I think it's what's always meant to be. It's interesting. I mentioned in The Bay, and we've been so accustomed to sort of going through the jungle of unknown. We didn't actually necessarily know the whole streaming entire industry would change and streaming would take over completely. And we just kind of started in that space and did the best work we could do, and just found a pocket in the business, the industry, just to have a platform to release it upon. And
but do you feel like streaming service has been a benefit for your series, The Bay?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's been a blessing, because it's been deemed as a pioneer of that sort of part of the business, the streaming part. It just so happened that we released, like, on, you know, Amazon Prime Video, and I feel like it's been helpful, because it's been deemed a pioneer in that space, but it just was like, it just happened to be a part of our journey that way.
And you have your seventh season coming up. Congratulations on that. And I know that you shot it in Puerto Rico. So how was the experience out there? Like, this is like, I love destination places.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really nice time there. It was ironic being so tempted to go enjoy the paradise while having so much content to shoot.
Absolutely. But, you know, I want to go back on this whole streaming services dominating movie studios, because it seems like the only successful films coming out of the box office in 2021 was Spider-Man No Way Home. And all I hear from millennials in the new year is their excitement for The Batman and Marvel's Moon Knight. So with independent television and film companies linking up or either being bought out around the world, Has the streaming revolution been good for the entertainment industry? Because I know it's been benefiting the Bay so far, but I'm talking about, let's just put, you know, the Bay on the shelf for a second. Now, we already know you guys have gotten numerous awards with the Bay, but how do you see that? Is this a good thing?
Yeah, I feel like it's evolution generally. I think it comes down to the viewer just having the luxury to tune in at their own, you know, whim. It's video on demand, VOD, SVOD.
Yeah, because you guys are very like soap opera, you know, on a level. And we know as millennials and Gen Zs, we're starting to cut the cable. We don't want to be anything apart, you know, of that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, I have Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus for my daughter.
do you see that being like the new forefront, like moving forward, where we're going to start seeing less of these like well-known shows showing up on cable, and most of the majority of good content is going to start showing up on streaming services?
Yeah, I think we're already there. I think that's the way it is already.
Yes, read the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I think that's so true, mm-hmm. Christos. And you know, and how long have you been in the entertainment industry?
I think now, I guess now 12 years. Yeah,
12 years. I think that's totally incredible.
You've won 11 Emmys in those 12 years. That's amazing. I mean, seriously, think about it, people. That's an Emmy a year at least, right? If you break out just the, obviously you got in a couple of years at a time. But, well, I mean, that shows a dedication to the craft.
But I guess my thing is, you know,
that's not just your pretty face. No, to be honest, it's not just your pretty face.
But you're 12 years in the game, so, like, why are you doing this? Like, you had the skateboarding going so well, so why are you doing this now?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, just switching. So it was definitely, like, I know I mentioned a gap called the leap of faith, but this was a leap of faith in life where I was just, I had a moment where you just think ahead. I thought ahead as much as I could. I imagined myself, you know, in my 30s, 40s, and so forth.
And you're thinking, I can't be skateboarding for this long. I mean, you're kind of resembling like Johnny Knoxville. I was just watching his interview last night. He was on Jimmy Kimmel. He's like, man, I'm about to be 50. I can't keep doing this for so long. But maybe in the entertainment industry, you know, working in filmmaking, because whether it be writing, producing, directing, or acting, I mean, you've done it all. And I guess my question is, like, which one do you like to do the most?
I feel like in life, each thing has its time, each thing has its chapter. And I felt that, all right, skateboarding, you know, it was the thing that I was growing up upon. Like, I was growing up with skateboarding, and it helped me to establish my identity, and it helped me to establish a good circuit of friends and a team and how to work together and accomplish things together. And it was fun to push the limits and to conquer fears and, you know, just get better disciplined at conquering fears with planning. And it was also a form of art. It was fun. But I had to also understand that this was a chapter of life, and I should be open. I shouldn't just stick to the first chapter and just carry that on through stubbornly through life, or, you know, but nothing against those who know that's their life, you know, journey. But I felt something else calling, and I knew I had to be open to it. And one chance led to another chance that just naturally brought me into this different career. And I just knew I need to be open to it. And I needed to have the faith to actually make the switch, despite anyone's, you know,
Well, Christos, it's clearly working out, okay? It's clearly working out for you, and you've absolutely made the right move. And how does it feel when you earn so many awards and honors? Like, do you feel satisfied? Are you still hungry?
I appreciate that question. I'm definitely still hungry, still feeling like it's just the beginning. I feel like I'm just, you know, coming out the process of training and proving it, and working really hard as I can. I know I've been just going nonstop, for literally like the last 12 years, I feel like. And I think I am finding that center of balance where I understand myself as a professional.
Did the center of balance come through when everything went on hold, like all of our lives paused when the pandemic kicked in? So when you're going, I'm assuming a decade in, and then all of a sudden it's like, Christos, you're going to have to kick back the bay. We're putting that on hold. What were some of those things you were doing behind the scenes to fuel your creative juices?
It was nice to have the introspective that the pandemic puts us in by default. I feel like a lot of us share the same thing where we had a lot of things on the shelf and a lot of thoughts that were brewing around that you needed to sort of process still. And it gave me the opportunity to do that and meditate on a lot of things. And it helped to form more clarity and more direction about life itself in general. It really helped me to sturdy my step, I guess, in moving forward. So as we do, you know, if we come to a place of more normality or not, I at least know that processing has had its chance, and it's nice.
You're and like I think that's really cool.
You're like a wine. You got to like let it sit, let it age.
Oh, okay. A little bit. Let the aroma kick in just a little bit. But how much has your life changed after the Emmy Awards? I'm so fascinated by that concept. Like, do you feel like you have more leverage in the game now that you hold these trophies? Like, I'm shocked I'm not even seeing it right now. I mean, I've seen your wall. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. I see one right there. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Snake would have bit me.
Look at my background, homie. It was
come
there.
On. Come
Christos
on.
Knows how to like throw his game out there. Come on now.
No, I think that is so cool because like Marissa already jumped on it. I mean, you've been recognized with 11 daytime Emmy awards. And do you really need number 12? I mean, do you need number 12?
Well, I don't, I mean, I'm not going to say no to it, but I don't think I needed.
But what's that next award? I mean, is there anything greater than, you know, an Emmy Daytime Award, or is there something that you're so ambitious that you're like, you know what, this Chris, this has been scratching at my noggin, and I know in this new decade, this is what I'm going after. Have you thought about that?
It's a bit of that and a bit of just going with the flow and whatever's, you know, whatever I feel like is coming into my life journey naturally. I'll just do the best I can. I'll just do the best I can. It could mean, you know, film. I've done in the last year more film, and we'll see if that leads to those, you know.
You remind me a little bit of a young Anthony Hopkins, and I say that in a way that because Anthony Hopkins cared about the craft, not how many awards he won. If he got it, he took the accolades with grace, which you're doing too. And I like how you're just focusing on, I'm with the flow, I'm doing my craft, my passion, working with a team I love. And that to me was like one reason why I love Anthony Hopkins so much, right? It's just this appreciation of that. And also our fans, your fans, not ours, like I wish, right? Your fans appreciate.
Oh, they're watching now.
Doing that, right? You know, but I mean that like humbleness from the heart, I want to see more of that in our industry.
But so, Christos, I do want to acknowledge how groovy it is that your sister, Celeste, who is an Emmy Award-winning actress and producer, is a part of the Bay, which I think is so cool that you guys can check out now on Amazon Prime. And how do you make the brother-sister duo work for this long without the cat scratch fever?
it's interesting. One would presume we would have that, you know, sibling banter or sibling just troublesomeness, but we support each other in a way that's just, we found a way to just be as light and pure about it as we can. And like, we both went through a childhood where we had to have each other's backs in a lot of moments. And I think that's something that sticks deeply and as a soul to each other. And we're just like, yo, like, the rest of life isn't that big of a deal. All we know is we got to just kind of be there for each other. And that's a really nice thing. I'm very grateful for Celeste and my whole family.
That's so cool. Yeah. And, you know, I was digging up research on your family, and it's my understanding that your mom, Catherine, was a renowned artist with both the Prince of Darkness and the Beacon of Light, Ozzy Osbourne and Pope Paul II, admiring your mother's artwork. And what was the advice your mom gave you about pursuing your artistic career?
I love that you asked because she's been so highly encouraging about it. Like, I even remember I was like, Mom, what university do you think about, like, through the amongst these options I'm considering? And she said, what for? And I was like,
she's British. I can hear that already.
Yeah, she just said this straight up, those two words. And I was like, oh, I kind of get what you mean. Like, I was just going with, you know, what everyone else was doing and making those similar plans. And she just really, really encouraged me to just follow my dreams now. I could go back to school later. Just put my all into just doing what I can in a creative way.
I think that is so cool. And, you know, thank you again, Christos Andrews, for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. And what can our listening audience anticipate from the Bay's upcoming series releasing in May?
A lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of crazy heartfelt moments. Yeah, intensity and a lot of adventure.
Yes. And a lot more Emmy wins coming. You know what? You guys are amazing. I love this show. Much more success coming for you guys in 2022. And thank you again for joining the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Thank you.
Ciao, Bellas. Thank you.
Peace. What's good, listeners? Joining us on Strike a Chord is indie alternative rock band Cannibal Kids, live on Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. Also, check out our brand new podcast series, Off the Fret, featuring The Phoenix Within. More music talk. Out now, wherever you listen to podcasts and YouTube. And, oh, look at that. Dang, son. Dang,
wow, you got
a crazier setup than I would have ever assumed. I mean, shit, are we on Twitch right now? What's going on, Damien?
What's going on? You guys see my sub goal there. Make sure you guys like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Hey, there we go. I've never
self-promote.
That is probably the coolest thing I've ever seen anybody join the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show.
Hey, thank you guys so much, man. We had to do it for you guys big time.
Hey, we love it, baby. And Damien, you know, it's my understanding that Cannibal Kids refers to a person who is in a place where they shouldn't have been. And I know that we've all done things that we're not proud of. Like when I get my hand on a bag of Sour Patch Kids, you know, they're sour, but then I don't feel so sweet the next day, if you know what I mean.
For sure,
So expand on what the band name means to you.
Okay, so the band name is about an experience, right? It's about a time when all of us were younger. And let me just spill the beans. I mean, I'm so old at this point, I could just say what really happened.
Yeah, come on now.
When we were younger, because I've been around the bush for years about this, you know? This is the truth. When I was younger, like 17, 16, we were all into urban exploring, and which basically is a glorified term for like going to abandoned places.
That is so true. By the way, that was,
and everyone was like, yeah, I urban explore. It's like you just break and enter abandoned properties.
Like the LA Zoo. Remember when it was like the part that's not the zoo, like the old LA Zoo? Like, Andrea wouldn't be here. You're not in LA.
I just saw Steve-O jump on the Lincoln Memorial and he got arrested for that. So is it to that extent?
Okay, so like, long story short, we go into an abandoned school campus that we didn't know what it was. We just knew it was a campus of some kind. And we enter in the psychiatrist's office. By the way, it's scary as hell in this place. Like, it looks like dead space. Like, it looks like somebody's gutted. Everything in the school was kept there, but it was all thrown left to right. Like, it looks like somebody's just ransacked the place. So we go into like the main hall, and like one of the places is this psychiatrist's office, and we open the drawers and all of the files are still there, and they're all wrapped in confidential tape. So when it's 2-3 in the morning and you and your best friends like just smoked a bunch of weed and broke into a building,
you break the confidential tape.
This is what you do. You go, we're in a movie. Like, this is a movie right now. we open this file up, and it's about this kid, and it's got all of his files. It's got like his parents' records, like their tax numbers, all of his progress reports. And the last like packet in the file is reasons for detentions and suspensions. And like, this kid had everything on it. It was like running away. It was it was like fighting, like disrespectful in class. And the last thing on the list was attempt to cannibalism.
What?
And we're all like, what? And like in that moment, as soon as it happened, we just hear a scurry like from the floor above us. Like, and like, we're like, oh, we're getting the hell out of here. And we,
yeah, this is Stranger Things, you know, season four. You're like, what is going on?
So we closed
the, I think Eleven's in the building. But, you know, like, Damien, I was reading online that, you know, you said this, quote, in case anyone didn't know, we usually dress like Mormons, end quote. And, you know, you boys might not know this about me, but I was raised Mormon my entire childhood. And let me tell you, I couldn't agree more. And did Miami steal Mormons' mojos by dressing in very bright colors, or is it the other way around?
Whoa, hold on.
So I'm starting to think Mormons are the original Miami Vice.
Did I actually say we?
Yeah, you did that. You have a publication, written publication with your name tied to that. And you say you guys all dress like Mormons. You need to speak on this now.
And how high were you?
Listen, by the way, getting high is not a regular thing. Like, it's not a usual, I don't just show up places like, hey guys, I'm high. Let me just, I am, you know what I mean? It's not.
But you show up like Mormons everywhere you go, so.
I don't.
Which is like being high.
I don't. High of life, you know. What's it called? I can't say I have too much to say. I thought Mormons dressed up in like panty loafers and nice shirts.
Well, you know, there's some white under it. I mean, you have to start off with the canvas first and then you throw the bright colors on yourself, right?
Here's the holy undergarments.
In the last year, I've gotten to make some pretty good homies with a cool Mormon dude. He's so cool. In Miami, we do have Mormons, but I can't say that I've come across that many in my life. I have maybe 5 experiences with a Mormon up until this year. So here's what I'll say. I went to Salt Lake City, Utah earlier last year for a tour.
Cool.
Everybody was Mormon. Everybody there was Mormon, but everybody was cool as hell.
They're really cool people.
They had their own swag. Everybody's dressed super cool. Am I dressed like a Mormon right now?
No, I wouldn't say so. Maybe you just got back from the liquor store and you're a Mormon. You want to hide it from your mom because you bought that $2.50 cheap vodka. But it's all good. But all jokes aside, and, you know, you have a brand new music video featuring your latest single, Jeans, which I love. And it has a great opening lyrics that you sing, Damien, which sings, maybe it's time that I open up a pair of jeans just to say what's up. And you guys describe Jeans as an effort to capture lightning in a bottle. How so?
That's a very good point. I mean, this is kind of one of those moments when you write a song, and I'm very patient when it comes to songwriting. I'll take a song could take up to months, even a year. I don't care how long it takes because it's about the quality to me. This was one of those songs where when the initial idea was created, I was so excited about it. And I wanted to finish the idea so much because I had a lot of inspiration around me at that moment. I had a lot of things that I wanted to get off my chest. And I probably wrote that song, like the lyrics, maybe 2.5 times before I actually finalized what I wanted to talk about on that song. So it was kind of one of those things where it was like, I was just woodshedding it like constantly. And this is over the span of like even a few months, actually. Even though I was trying really hard, it took maybe about a month or two of concentrated effort to finish it.
But I think it's a great track, Damien, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I think we got to let the music video speak for itself so we have enough time so we could talk more. But this is Cannibal Kids. You're in for a treat. This is their latest music video, Jeans, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Maybe it is time that I open up a pair of jeans just to say what's up. I don't know exactly where we fell apart. Jumping from my hand just to make a start. She said that she might have cancer. I don't really know cause we don't talk about it.
That is Cannibal Kids, and that is their latest music video, Jeans, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. And I just want to remind the listeners, this is Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got Damian Gutierrez with us. He is the singer-songwriter of Cannibal Kids. You know, Damian, let's get right on into it, because if you thought online dating was weird, wait until you try the metaverse dating, which I know the band is highly qualified to speak on this matter, because I'm aware someone in the band fell in love at Wii Sports Resort. So why? I mean, is it because you're not going to find an attractive stranger at the bar nowadays? I mean, what's going on, Damian?
Has anybody seen the new show Upload? Has anybody seen that
show? I have not. I mean, intrigue the listening audience who has no idea, like myself,
basically,
on what this show
is. It's kind of the premise, like falling in love with a digital person. The whole show is like, you can, after you die, you can upload your consciousness to the cloud and exist in the cloud. And they explore this theme with people falling in love and relationships and what it would be like to fall in love with a computer. Also, have you guys ever seen the movie Her? I'm all about this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Listen, the future is digital. Fall in love with the computer. It's cool, man.
You know what that reminds me of? It's like, you know, in the Little Mermaid where they put that glass.
Just, you know, I'm pro digital, pro AI, pro everything. And hearing you say that warms my heart. Thank you. Just want to say.
Yeah, I had a feeling Marissa would say that, because I know she would love to go on a metaverse, you know, date, you know, strolling through a mythical forest landscape.
I'll be flying. My wings, dude, all glittery, right? In like a hot bodice. And like, oh, yeah, all done. Love it. Sorry.
Oh, okay. But what should we be thinking about, Damian?
So the first thing you want to think about is what type of like internet connection do they have? Because it's going to be a lot if you have to like wait on the lag. And if you're like, hey, I love you. And they're like, you know what I mean? Having to do with that's going to be pretty annoying. You know what I mean? You got to make sure they've got fiber internet. That's for one.
You got to make sure that. Ladies, or, you know, I don't know your sexual preference, Damian, but hey, listen, right. I mean, you know, Damian's got a lot of, you know, high end fiber that he needs in his lifestyle if you ever want to go on a metaverse date with him. But don't you think that, you know, swipe right, you know, regret later is outdated? I mean, do you think metaverse dating is going to be the future?
Let's be honest here. Like, we're heading in a very interesting direction. Especially, I mean, like my gen, millennials, Gen Zs, and the kids that are coming after that, we're kind of like growing in this world where like love is very a commodity, if anything. Mm-hmm. It's feared. It's not understood. They're raised by parents that aren't in love. So there aren't very clear images of what healthy relationships look like. I think a lot of people are searching for that right now.
You know,
weird time frame of that.
You might not know this, Damian, but they are searching for that now. And there's a lot of money being invested in metaverse dating, mm-hmm. where Match Group, they are the parent company to Tinder and Hinge. They have heavily invested in this transition inside the metaverse. And so, like, would you ever go on a date in the metaverse if you could do speed rounds playing virtual games in the Wii Sports Resorts?
That sounds amazing, first off. But you know what's cool about it? Like, of course, the digital, like forgetting that we're a human vessel and a meat body and pretending that we're only this digital thing. While that is kind of strange, and you know, I have questions about that, it will be interesting to be able to meet anybody on the planet.
I mean, do you really have questions about that? Do you really have questions, though? Because it's like, we see random stories all the time of people meeting online from around the world playing video games. Like, why wouldn't this work?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, video games and high-speed internet and you know, having a camera on you at all times has made relationships and connections transcend time and space.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can fall in love with a French girl and she's from France. And
I guess all it takes is an Elon Musk Neuralink and I'm going to have all the bitchin' babes all over me. Right, Marissa?
That even a Neuralink wouldn't get you.
Damn. So, you know what? The future is not intact for Chris Collins. But while there's no doubt that virtual dating will go off the deep end, you know, we're going to have avatars of dudes disguised as Harry Styles or Tom Holland. We all understand that. But it's safe to say that you'll fall in love with Cannibal Kids at the Wii Sports Resorts, because we're about to be playing their music video from Cannibal Kids. This is Falling in Love at Wii Sports Resort, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Is Cannibal Kids, and that is their track Falling in Love at Wii Sports Resort, live on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. And I want to remind the listening audience, this is Strike a Chord, where if you physically or digitally pick up that record, you're going to know these tracks. And we got the one and only singer-songwriter Damian Gutierrez with us right now. And you know, the next track that we're about to play is Go Outside, which gives me the same vibe, especially when you sing that line, I just want to go outside, I don't want to lose my mind. I mean, this pandemic makes me feel either extra tired or extremely energized. And are you keeping your sanity during quarantine?
Oh yeah, man, it's been tough. Like, I've been having to pick up the strangest hobbies. I've got really into solving Rubik's cubes. I've got into like learning how to yo-yo. I like got really into board games at one point. I've been making a bunch of music. I've just been like trying to hone my personal skills during this 2 years, yeah.
So it sounds like you're getting into D&D. Are you a dungeon master now? I mean,
dude,
what's going on?
When I was younger, I'll pull up my D&D charts right now.
Yeah. If you don't have them printed out, you ain't the shit, okay? I'm just saying. I mean,
I have a pile of stuff over there. I'm going to go get it in a second.
That is so funny. But I mean, no, on the real, I mean, I think that's so cool that you even said that even during this downtime, you were like, I'm not letting, you know, the progression of music just go away. And yeah. I even saw online that you guys were doing these like really cool, fun, innovative ways to like, you know, say, hey, we're going on tour, but we're going on tour via YouTube and check up our episode. I mean, how are some of these quirky ideas coming into mind? I mean, was it your idea? Was it one of the band members?
So the idea of the Bedroom Pop tour was my idea, and it was something that we all collaborated on once I had like the inception of the idea. And we all collaborated on doing different versions of the songs, like doing like a swing version of a pop rock song, like our song Saving the Time, and doing like more stripped down versions. And we also did it again because we recently had a stripped down show in Orlando that was like a COVID friendly show, and everybody was socially distanced. It was outside. So I'm really good at coming up with things within limitations. I actually do really well, like figuring out what I want to do within these boundaries. And one of them is quarantining, and Corona is a limitation for music. We can't just like go out there and tour like we always wanted to. Now we have to adjust to the new era. So the music adjusts, the way we interact with our fans adjusts. Videos like that, like coming up with like the Bedroom Pop Tour, which is a play on the word because we're a bedroom pop band.
Is that how you guys like to refer yourself as? Wow. I always laugh. I've heard of that phrase before and I go, I don't even know what the fuck bedroom pop means.
You know what bedroom pop means? It means that I'm a pop star, but only in the confines of my room.
This but then, it. Okay, then is that what we're going to call Olivia Rodrigo? I mean, is Olivia Rodrigo? No, hold on, no, Marissa. No, I mean, no, I need to get at that because that.
I thought you'd be like in bed popping out.
No, but yeah, okay. Okay, sure, popping one. Okay, you get real kinky with that, okay, Marissa? I'm sure that's not where you were trying to go, but that's what it sounds like live on air, okay? But is that what we're going to start calling Olivia Rodrigo because she did an NPR, you know, at a DMV? Are we going to call her DMV pop?
No. Okay. Bedroom pop is exclusive to, like, it's more about, like, a production style and like the aesthetic. It's like low budget bangers, you know. Olivia Rodrigo, and she's, you know, fantastic. I've got nothing against Olivia Rodrigo. She's got good music. I don't know. I'm not going to assume she has $1 million writing team, but let's not beat around the bush. She definitely has.
I know that Olivia Rodrigo would like to see your music video go outside.
Oh, that's probably
while we have.
Hey, I think you're onto something, Marissa. I think we got that music video right now, ready, intact. And I love this music video. It cracks me up. Hopefully this is not the future. I don't really want to wear that. I kind of prefer, you know, my cloth thong on my face right now instead of the ones that you're premiering in this music video. But let's show the CCS family what's good. This is Cannibal Kids music video. Go outside live on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show.
I just want to go outside. I don't want to lose my mind. I just want to go outside.
I just want to go outside.
I don't want to go outside. I don't want to lose my mind.
I just want to go
outside. I just want to go
outside.
So that I don't lose my mind.
I just want to go outside.
I just want to go outside. So that I don't lose my mind.
I just want to go outside.
I just want to go outside. So that I don't lose my mind.
Twisting, turning, tossing back and forth. I'm sleeping wrong. Sunlight hurts my iris. Nothing feels inspiring. I can't even finish a song.
Ay, ay. Tell if it's Monday, Tuesday, losing track of time. Every day is a loose day. Spend my birthday on Zoom, but not Zooming. Staying in the same place, nobody's moving. Nah, smoking on that outdoor, indoor. Keep it 6 feet, you could back up a bit more. Now you catch me in my room hoarding on the bitcoins. YouTube rabbit holes just made me wanna sit more. So if you wanna go outside, there's gotta be a compromise. Wishing we could turn back time.
I just wanna go outside.
I don't wanna go outside. I don't wanna lose my mind.
I just wanna go outside.
I don't wanna go outside. So that I don't lose my mind.
I just wanna go outside.
I just wanna go outside. So that I don't lose my mind.
I just wanna go
outside. I just wanna go outside. So that I don't lose my mind.
That is Cannibal Kids, and that is their track, Go Outside. And we're out of time, but I just got to say, Damien, you have great energy, much success going into 2022. I think you guys have a phenomenal sound, and yes. I know you guys have an upcoming shows coming up, so where can we get those tickets?
So go to visit all of our tickets, all information Cannibal Kids that can be found on cannibalkids.com. We have an Indiegogo. We're raising money for our March tour with Raquel Lilly. We're flying across the country. We've got banging shows on the West Coast, California.
I know you're linking up with my boys, Animal Son. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, Steven and I, Steven's already like, I'm bringing the booze and the bitches, bro.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That sounds like Steven. Hey, but Damien, you've been awesome, my man. Have a great rest of your day. And guys, you have new music to check out. Cannibal Kids, they're here to stay.
Thanks, brother. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks a lot, Damien. Bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
And we want to give a huge shout out again to the 11-time Daytime Emmy Award winner. That is Christos Andrews. Go ahead and check out his incredible show, The Bay. It's on Amazon Prime, and they got a brand new season coming up this May. So if you have plenty of time to start binge watching. And also, the boys from Miami, Cannibal Kids, go ahead and give them a listen. They got incredible music. They're here to stay with us. And we also want to remind everybody that we have a brand new Off the Fret podcast with more music talk, featuring Queens, New York rock band, The Phoenix Within, as our third installment. So go ahead and check that out right now.
And who is next week's guest, Mr. Chris?
Yeah, we are beyond stoked. It is time to bring this one and only gentleman into the mix. We are so excited to bring CCS contributor, sports contributor, Kevin Drake with us. You know, we're getting ready for the Super Bowl, and literally next week is the Olympics. It seems so weird to even think that's even a reality. So you guys, you're in for a treat. And you know what? If you guys like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollegeshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, I'll see you next week, fam. Peace. The Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2021, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Tiana Kutcher, Some Daggers Wear Red, Desmond Walker, Saturn Till June, Music Loud, Driving Fast, YT Will,
It Feels Good to Be the Bad Guy, Walk These Shoes You'll See Why, Look At Things From Both Sides, Ain't Nothing Like The
EC Main,
One Thug, Lord Show A Little Mercy On One Thug,
The Phoenix With Ben.
There's more weight in my words than you give me.
Chloe Wilder. Jonas and I.
It's been bright enough to ignite the aurora down.
Came.
The South, South, run that in my mouth.
An Animal Son.
So tell me how do you see reasons to carry on?
Music Storm 2021, available on YouTube Live. Peace. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy. I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace.
Yeah.
What's good? I'm Chris from the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. The Phoenix Within, a rock project hailing from Queens, New York, released their long-awaited full-length album, Overdue, joins Off the Fret. More music talk.